You're listening to the Teach Better Talk podcast, featuring expert educators eager to share progressive tactics to reach more students. Teach Better Talk is created by teachers and fueled by passion. Let's get started.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 87 of Teach Better Talk. I'm Ray Hewart, and as always, I'm with my skateboard-loving Jeff Gargis.
Skateboard-loving?
Well, I went with skateboard-loving because we have the amazing Michael Earnshaw with us for this podcast, and he's like the skateboard principal, so I thought you guys kind of bonded over that. I don't know.
Yeah, he is the principal on a skateboard is what he goes by there. I think it was cool. We have a cool idea that we're going to try and pull off with a skateboard later on that we talked about in there. And sure, I'll take it. I like skateboards. I can do that.
Actually, I mean, I think any opportunity we have to be closer friends with Michael's like the way to go. So yeah,
my daughter, who's going to be 5 in a couple weeks, is actually, by the time this episode comes out, she will have turned 5, is getting into skateboarding, actually. And it's got me really excited that she's excited about getting in there and stuff. So
your daughter's gonna be 5?
Oh my god, I know. She is 5. Like, you know, while we're recording this, she's not quite 5, but by the time this comes out and it's hitting everybody else's ears, she is 5. It's crazy.
For those of you that are listening that don't know all about Jeff's life, like, you need to go stalk him on Facebook or something, because his children, like, holy cow. We joke that Jeff has a face for podcasting. Are the cutest kids, obviously because of your wife, but yes, those kids are the cutest kiddos.
They are, and they love Ray to death.
Well, you know, I do get to see them every so often when I crash at your house. Mm-hmm.
Actually, last time you were here, and you were only here for a short time, then we hit that conference in the morning, then you took off for some other state, and later that night, Jonathan was like, is Ray coming back? And I'm like, oh, yeah. No, buddy. She had to go. And he just kind of looked at me with a little sad face. I'm like, oh, man.
Hopefully I'm back at your house very
soon.
Yeah.
If not for anything else, you're going to be back for the Teach Better Conference in November.
That's true. Actually, I would love to talk through the Teach Better Conference for a second, okay, because Michael was on our podcast, obviously, uh-huh, which you'll hear in a second. But he's a featured speaker coming to our conference.
Yes, he is. Excited about that.
So something I really liked that we did for the conference, Jeff, was we kind of had this collection of really awesome educators, this initial 8 that we announced, and they were our featured speakers trying to get people hyped up, right? So, like, of course, Tal Thompson's on there, Adam Welcome, Dave Burgess, Shelley Burgess. I mean, these were educators that we knew had big followings. They're all amazing authors, kind of gets the energy going. People were, I think, really stoked to come to the conference. But I think that the next few weeks, the next few months, are actually when the fun's going to happen, mm-hmm, because now we're announcing the rest of our featured speakers, and those people are awesome.
Yeah, it's been really fun. We've already started rolling them out. You've probably been seeing it all over social media and stuff, but as we continue to roll them out, it's really exciting. And we've got the sheer amount of proposals we had submitted for this thing was just crazy. We did not see that coming, which, I mean, obviously it's a good problem to have, but it was really hard to figure out who we're going to bring out and stuff. And so it's just, I mean, such a wide array of educators in different positions and different roles, different experiences, different cities and states all around. Super excited. Ray, do you want to highlight a few of them? Let's talk about a few of them. What do you think?
Yeah, okay. Going to the problem is I'm like, real talk right now, I'm literally going through and I want to talk about all of them.
I don't know if we have the time to do that on this podcast, but
I was trying to pick like 5 or 6.
Yeah, let's do 5. Let's do 5.
Second row, and now I just want to keep going. I guess the first one I would talk about is P. Sloan Joseph, who's coming. I know that we have been fans with her for a really long time, but she's a professional development facilitator and an administrator, middle school all the way, which is totally my style. And she's got a really cool podcast, Jeff. I don't know if you've heard or subscribed. You definitely should go and subscribe to her podcast. It's called Greater Is In Me. It's a really cool thing that she's working on.
Awesome.
All right. Next one I'm going to talk about is Craig Boykin. And he is another speaker that's coming. He has had literally experience everywhere, between teaching and retail and the army. And gosh, he got his master's degree and just he's an all-star. I cannot wait for him to come. Really cool.
He's got a super cool story of just like his journey of getting to where he is and the ups and downs and challenges, like, and how he shares it. I'm super excited just because of the passion he brings with his journey. It's going to be really cool, really powerful.
Okay, someone I'm shocked. I cannot wait to meet. Kevin Butler is coming.
Yes.
Kevin Butler is a goofy teacher. You got to go look him up on Instagram, but he's like full of energy. And one of my favorite things I love about his classroom is that he does a like talk show every morning with his kids. Oh my gosh, so well done. And he's both a fifth grade teacher and a director of curriculum instruction.
Can I give a shout out?
Of course.
So my boy Jake Miller is coming out.
Oh, I can't believe Jake Miller is coming.
Yeah, so if you don't know Jake's podcast, the Duct Tape Education or Duct Tape EDU, awesome podcast. He's a big tech guy, super knowledgeable. He puts out a ton of just like little bite-sized pieces of like tech tutorials and ideas and all this type of stuff. Like, I mean, great to subscribe to his email stuff. You get all kinds of value from him. And I'm fortunate enough, he's actually in Ohio, not too far from me. We grabbed coffee just like a month ago, and he's just a super nice, just cool guy, man. I'm super excited that he's coming out and getting on. He's coming on the podcast in a couple months, I think. It's booked out a ways, but really excited about him coming out to the conference as well. I had to give him a little shout out.
Okay, I have two other ones we can't not talk about, and then of course there's like 10 more I could list, but CJ Reynolds is coming. Mm-hmm. Who I am going to try and contain my excitement when I shake his hand for the first time, because I am such a fan of, he has the YouTube channel Real Rap with Reynolds, and it is totally focused on supporting teachers and not getting burnout, but he does it in this really cool way. He's the history of a hip-hop teacher that I just think is so cool. And then we have to mention Brittany Wolf, yeah. Which I know you're meeting her later today, actually.
I am. I get to hang out with her later today.
Can you give us just like a sneak peek at Brittany? She's just like the most amazing woman in the world.
So Brittany, she's really cool. I actually know her through, I mean, she actually went to my high school, but years behind me. Her husband, Scott, I know his older brother. He used to kind of like hang out with the band that I was in. And so then through that, I knew Scott, and I got to meet Brittany. And Brittany has been doing something for the last couple of years that I just think is super powerful, super important, and really, 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 really cool. And that's been sharing her journey and just her life with Tourette's syndrome. She was diagnosed at just 7 years old. She's now, I think, 29. And just sort of sharing her journey, putting out, and the inspiration that she's been able to give to others who have Tourette's and maybe feel, you know, that they're not understood. There's a lot of misunderstandings, misconceptions about Tourette's and what it is and how it affects people and the different ways that it affects them. And she's been just sharing her journey on YouTube. And I love she picked YouTube for a reason, and that was so that you could see her ticking when she was speaking, because she wants to show it, and it's called, so if you have a chance, follow her. She's the channel is called One Tech at a Time, and it's phenomenal. So she's gonna be sharing some stories there about, and her session is all about just sort of how she had to deal with this through school and stuff. And I think what's really cool, Ray, is it's not just about Tourette's. It's gonna help us just see how to deal with students that are coming from different backgrounds and different situations and things that they deal with. But Brittany's like the sweetest person you'll ever meet, and you're just super excited. So I'm really excited to put her in front of people so people can just get to know her and spend some time with her and hear her stories, man. It's going to be really exciting. Super excited for that one.
Well, outside of the teachers we mentioned, we have amazing, amazing educators that we'll continue to give a shout out to and promote on all of our social media accounts. For our featured speakers that are coming next, we cannot wait for you to see them. These are amazing, amazing people, and I cannot wait to celebrate them, meet them in person, and then obviously sit in their sessions in November. But I guess the one other featured speaker we haven't yet talked about is Mr. Earnshaw, who is actually on our podcast today.
Yeah, so this was really cool to have him on. I love doing this. So Mike Earnshaw, he's actually the principal of Oak Glen Elementary School. Been there for 5 years, was assistant principal prior to that, so 7 years in the administration area, was a teacher, before that, and ELA teacher. He was in 6th through 8, so middle school. He's a father of two. He's a runner. He considers himself a motivator, an encourager, and he's known as the principal on a skateboard, which is really cool. He kind of shares a story about where that come from and how that really, I think, sort of from his story, sort of brought him back to where he needed to be in education. And that was a really cool story. And he kind of goes into a lot of the changes that sort of going back to his roots and back to himself and being true to himself brought to his role and then spread out to his staff. And I love his focus. I mean, the entire episode is just so much focus on the culture that he's built and they've been building there and within the staff and then from there to the students. And I'm a ton of value in this, in his stories. I'm super excited about it. Ray, anything particular that you want people to really listen for?
You know, Michael's the kind of principal that I just love working around. You know, somebody who's challenging teacher, someone who's wanting you to take risks, and it's not about the evaluation. And I just hope you soak up all of his energy. He's a really great leader, and I just enjoy kind of living vicariously through him. I don't know. I really enjoyed this episode.
Yeah, and two, I love, last thing, the piece of advice he got. He shares one from his dad and one from his first principal that he worked under, and both just stellar. Really enjoyed this episode. So let's get into it. Episode number 87 with Michael Earnshaw.
Hey everyone, we so appreciate having you listening here with us. If you enjoy the show as much as Jeff and I enjoy amplifying these educator stories, I'd really like to encourage you to leave a rating and review. It takes about 3 minutes. Just click your star rating. I personally am a fan of that 5-star review, and then share a comment about what you enjoy most about our podcast. To be honest, this just allows us to reach more listeners and further share these amazing educators' message. All right, let's get to the episode.
All right, so we are here. We are talking with Michael Earnshaw. And Michael, super, super excited to have you on the podcast. We were just talking about how you are coming out to the Teach Better Conference, the first ever Teach Better Conference in November. You're going to help us take this thing and hopefully lay a foundation for years to come. So we're super pumped to have you coming out to that and have you on now to kind of talk about your story and share some stuff. So really appreciate that. And before we get going, anything, I just want to ask you, how are you doing tonight?
Today? I'm awesome.
It's not nighttime. Right now, I usually do nighttime, so I'm like used to that, but it's actually morning right now. So how are you doing this morning? How about that?
I'm awesome, man. I just got back from 2 days. My daughter's birthday was Monday. She turned 8, so we did an impromptu kind of trip to Indianapolis. So with the family, got to hang out with them for a couple of days, and
awesome.
Now I'm here with you guys. So yeah, I'm doing great.
Very cool.
Yeah, I'm so glad we tricked you into being on Teach Better Talk. This is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
I do want to start with having our listeners learn about you. Obviously, we've been friends for a while, but would you mind sharing kind of your background and how you answer the typical question of what you do?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, first and foremost, I consider myself a father and a husband. Family always comes first. Anyone who knows me knows that that's kind of like my view. So when staff comes up to me, if something comes up, I tell them like, no, go, you need to take care of that. So first and foremost, you know, I'm a father and a husband, teacher at heart. I've been a principal the past 5 years. I was an AP for 2 before that, so 7 years in administration. I still consider myself a teacher. I'm a lead learner, trying to just kind of guide, you know, the staff and students here of through the educational process. I like to think of myself as a motivator. So more than just kind of like your typical principal where you're sitting there feeding data, that's not me. And you know, maybe we'll talk a little bit about that later, about how I kind of run the building, our staff meetings. But you know, 39 years old, and I still think of myself as that punk rock skater kid. I still want to challenge the status quo and kind of make a difference in the world. And I think I've kind of found my way now.
That's awesome. You sort of touched on it, but you know, I think a lot of people might know you as the principal on a skateboard. So I think that obviously comes from that, but where did that actually come from? I mean, I'm looking at your picture right now and it's you holding a skateboard. Are you riding a skateboard like down the halls and stuff, or just, they just know that you skateboard, or like, where's that come from?
So, I mean, ever since I was a kid, I rode a skateboard. I mean, 5 years old, I got into it. So all through high school, college, you know, I skated, and then, you know, you kind of got older. Even when I was teaching, I still did. But once I got into administration, I kind of, you know, they, I had kids, so the going out with the friends at the skate parks kind of took a back seat. So then over the summer, I was fortunate, you know, the NAESP conference was here in Chicago. So I was able to go, and I kind of met some new educators, and Hamish Brewer was one of them. And, you know, I kind of saw his session, you know, the tattooed skateboarding principle. I'm like, well, what is this? I'm like, that sounds like something totally up my alley. So went and watched him speak, kind of, you know, I got to meet him there. I ran into him in the hall and we talked, and, you know, I credited him on Twitter. I mean, he kind of brought it back for me, my love of skateboarding. So yeah, I brought the skateboard to school. If my superintendent or district office is listening, no, I don't skateboard in the hallways when the kids are here. But yeah, you know, it's just fun. I mean, I've taken it when I've got certain kids who they've kind of bought into it, and they think it's pretty cool. They see their principal on a skateboard, and I've got kids. One of the things we'll do is they have to earn, you know, throughout the week, if they can, you know, meet whatever requirements we set for them, whether it's behavior or academics. On Fridays, I'll kind of take them out in the blacktop, just me and that kid, and we'll go out there and I'll teach them some skateboard tricks and whatnot. And it's kind of cool because other teachers will get out there at recess and their kids will be watching. And yeah, it's just something, you know, it's kind of turned my whole world around getting it back into my life this year. So
that's really cool, and a cool connection to the kids. And Ray, I don't know if you heard him, but when he said at this district office is listening, he said, I don't ride the skateboard through the hallways when the kids are here. So something tells me when the kids go home, the board comes out again. Just saying, I heard that, Mike. I heard what you were saying there.
Right.
So Mike, I'm not sure if you listen to the podcast regularly or not, but we talk a lot about failure.
No, I do.
Podcast. Good. So you know what I'm going to talk about here. You know that I always talk about failure and how, you know, while I didn't enjoy the failures in my life, I love that I've had them because they've led me to where I am. They've taught me what I have. I've been very fortunate to fail a lot. So can you share a story with us about a time that you've had a failure and sort of what happened? How did you overcome it? And then what did you take away from that experience?
Yeah, definitely. One thing before I get into my story, funny thing about the skateboard, the kids will ask me, you know, if I fall a lot when I'm doing tricks. And I've kind of used that as a key to tell them, I'm like, I fall all the time. Like, that's part of the process, but it's getting back up and trying again and again and again until you get it. So I kind of use that as a way to explain failure to them. You know, you can't give up. But my story really kind of encompassed the last, not this past year, school year we finished, the last 2 years before that. Like I said, I just finished my fifth year as principal here at Oakland. And, you know, the first 2 years I was, you know, I was on fire. I came in, I was in the hallways, I was building relationships, connections with my staff. And you kind of saw a big change in the culture. And then the last two years I had, I kind of got away from that. I had an assistant principal who was very good. She's a great assistant principal. So, you know, being with her for a few years, she kind of started to take the lead on more things. And I kind of looked at the other administrators in my district and I saw them analyzing data a lot. You know, they were in their offices working on initiatives and things like that. So I thought that that's what I needed to be. So I kind of, you know, went that route where I would be in my office and, you know, I kind of set the timer like, okay, it's 10:30. Let's go do a lap around the building, show your face. Then I would show back up and in my office. I wasn't happy. You know, I kind of became that stereotypical boring principal that I never wanted to be. And I started to question, you know, if I should even be in education, was this the right route that I took? You know, being so young, I got so many more years before retirement. I'm not into countdown, so don't even ask me how many years I got left. But, you know, I saw kind of the first 2 years, the kind of culture and the positivity we built started to kind of crumble, you know, and I felt like I had let my staff down. I had let, you know, most importantly, the students down, because when the staff morale kind of lowered, obviously had an effect on the kids, on the families. And, you know, even my superintendent pulled me in at one time and she asked me, you know, you kind of seem like you're not the face of that school anymore. You know, your assistant principal is the one who's getting out there, and they're the ones that you know, they know. And, you know, I kind of finished off the year, you know, I tried to turn some things around, but I was really thinking like, man, maybe I need to either move to a new district or find a new career, because everything I had worked for, it seemed like it just kind of evaporated from my hands. So that's kind of like the failure, if that makes sense. And what I was lucky enough was when I had gone to that NAESP conference last July, and I kind of started to meet all these other educators and the ones who were doing things that I had always done my whole career, you know, building connections with the kids, having fun, doing things outside of the norm. And I kind of realized, what am I doing? Why am I trying to be somebody I'm not? You know, I'm not going to sit here with a shirt and tie on 180 days out of the school year. I mean, that's not me. So, like I said, I kind of got real active on Twitter. I started reading a lot more books, you know, just kind of connecting with people, and kind of told myself, you know, my AP had just, she had just left. She had taken a principalship position, which she well deserved. So I had a new AP coming in. I kind of said, look, it's time for me to turn this all around. I'm not done. So I kind of got a lot of fire going underneath me. So, you know, I started sending some texts out to some of the staff, trying to get them pumped up for the school year. And I mean, this school year was phenomenal. I mean, I was probably in my front office maybe 5% of the entire year. You know, I instituted a mobile desk. I was out in the hallways. I was out in the classrooms. Fellow administrators would call the front office, and they would tell my admin assistants, oh, when he's done skateboarding around, can you have him call us? So it kind of became a joke. Like, they thought like I was just out having fun. But what I was doing was I was getting back to the number one thing that I've always believed when I was a teacher, when I was an AP. You know, you need to build relationships with everybody involved. And being the principal, that first came with my staff, and I needed to show them that it's okay to kind of take a backseat to the curriculum, get to know, you know, your students, get to know their families, kind of what's going on in their lives. So this past year, like I said, I did a lot of modeling. So when we would do our staff meetings, everything I did, rather than put a PowerPoint up there and recite data that they could just read in an email, I turned it all around, and I was modeling kind of what I would expect for them to do in the classroom. And what that was a lot of hands-on on learning, a lot of, you know, ditch that the paper, you know, let's get up, let's get moving, let's collaborate, let's realize we don't have all the answers, we need to rely on one another. So we did things where, I'll never forget the first faculty meeting of the school year. I kind of prepped everyone about 2 weeks in advance, you know, hey, we're going to be speed dating, so you want to dress your best. You never know who you're going to meet, who you're going to make a connection with. So the staff kept asking me, well, what do you mean we're speed dating? I'm like, just trust me, we're going to go speed dating. You want to look good. So the day of the meeting comes, and they walk in, and I just have Marvin Gaye, Let's Get It On, playing on repeat as the staff enters the room. I've got all of our tables set up in two rows with seats on each of them, because we got about 60 staff members here. I walk in, and I have, you know, my shirt and tie on that I wore for the day, but also around my neck, I have a magnet with a bunch of chicks on it that I had for a Halloween costume a couple years ago. So people are kind of looking at me, and I'm like, oh, I get it. It's a chick magnet. So the object of the faculty meeting was, they also, in a separate email, I had asked them, hey, you need to read an article related to education. So they sat down and, you know, they discussed these articles. That was the speed dating round. And they moved from person to person. And I split it up where you're not, fifth grade wasn't work with fifth grade. Kindergarten's not just with the kindergarten. We're starting to work with everybody. So, you know, that was kind of the start. We had a lot of fun with that. And just kind of the rest of our meetings, you know, I had staff come up and tell me, you know, we used to hate going to faculty meetings after school. but what you've been doing, we look forward to, and we don't realize 2 hours has gone by the end of it. And not only are they fun, but we are learning off each other and we're getting ideas of how to make this, you know, a better place. So another thing that I model with them was, and this was huge this year, was getting out of your comfort zones. I started putting my writing out there, you know, in a blog for people to read, which I've always kind of kept my writing personal to myself. Just modeling these activities, telling them, hey, get out of your comfort zone. Don't worry about what other people think. Let's just do what you know is right. Do what you want to try. So about halfway through the school year, my new assistant principal and myself kind of told them, hey, we're going to do an activity where everybody has to do one out of your comfort zone lesson this quarter. And, you know, you can team up with your team, you can do it individually, but you need to let us know kind of when you're going to do it. And it's not an evaluation. We're not coming in to, you know, to do even an informal walkthrough. Like, we just want to be there to support you and, you know, see what happens with it if we're available. So I can't stress enough how impressed we were with what our staff brought to us this year. It all goes back to us modeling, myself and my assistant principal, getting out of our comfort zones from the beginning of the year. We had teachers who they brought in, you know, escape rooms to their classroom. They had our first graders learn how to waltz, and they were then formally invited to Cinderella's ball when one of our first grade teachers, they all dressed up as characters for Cinderella, tied into a fairy tale unit they were doing. And, you know, they learned, they had this big formal dance, and it was in the hallways. There's actually a video on somewhere, it's probably on my Twitter, where Cinderella asked me to dance. And of course, I look like a bum because everyone's dressed up formally. And here I am in a hooded sweatshirt and jeans because it was a Friday. And I'm getting to dance with Cinderella. We had our fourth grade and third grade teachers do a whole surgery unit related to math, where they brought in these jello mold hearts. And the kids worked in surgical teams. They were dressed up in masks and gowns, where they had to kind of operate and take out of the heart without destroying it. These heartbeats and do measurements of the heartbeats, and they had to calculate their own heartbeats and do exercises with it. And what almost all of these teachers did is they scheduled these comfort zone lessons, which could go south because they've never done them before, as their formal evaluations. They were that confident and that kind of proud of what they were doing. So we saw more rigor, more engagement, and more happiness and smiles from the teachers and the students themselves, just kind of enjoying learning and just working with each other again. So, you know, it kind of made me realize, like, from, you know, having those 2 years, like I said, I really regret it. And I wish I could take it back, because I know the students who are no longer with us, you know, they kind of got the crappy end of the stick with me being here, sitting in my office. And they're not really getting to have the engagement and just the connections with the staff that the students are now. So that's kind of it. If that makes sense to you, kind of rambled on a little bit, but.
No, Michael, I just want to work for you. Like, how can I get in your building? It sounds.
Ray, how about the surgery, the heart, the math unit? All I could think of is your guts and math unit. Like,
I know. But it sounds like as they were challenging themselves to reach outside their comfort zones and try these lessons, that they really did it with purpose. I mean, there's so many teachers out there that would say, yeah, I'm going to have my kids dress up as something and we're going to have fun. And rather, every example you gave, you in your story were able to make a clear connection to how that connected to content standards and impacted their learning to reach them more deeply and really just allowed it to be an engaging, purposeful opportunity. I mean, that is like my bread and butter right there. I'm so inspired by not only your teachers taking the risk, but Michael, I think it's really valuable to acknowledge that teachers are only able to take risks if they feel supported. And working in a building where you've created this this energy of being who you are, owning it, and having it be a safe space to try something to be better for your students. Like, oh my gosh, I'm like so inspired right now by your stories.
Well, thank you. Yeah. And, you know, kind of looking, when we do the MAP NWEA three times a year, fall, winter, and spring. And when I looked at our fall to spring data, when I looked at our entire school, we're a little under 550 kids, kindergarten through fifth grade. 70% of our kids met or exceeded their expected growth in math. And our reading was not far behind that. It was like the top 60% also met in reading. And, you know, we kind of never, I wrote a blog post a while back, and I put, I remember when I did a parent cafe this year, I started off by looking at the parents and I told them that I don't care about test scores. And you could kind of see their jaws drop, and you kind of felt that tension in the air. And even kind of my AP, because like I said, she was new with me this year, kind of thinking like, why is he telling parents we don't care about tests? But then I kind of followed it up how, you know, my main concern is letting your children know that they are, you know, valued, that we believe in them, that we know that they all are going to accomplish great things. And once I kind of went into my whole, you know, rant with the parents about that, I could see that, you know, they understood. And I've gotten nothing but positive feedback about just the staff or the parents coming in talking about how much they love the staff and the things that they do for their kids. We've had students. One of my favorite things is we had a new student who came to us from a pretty rough school in Chicago. And she was with us maybe a week and a half. And one of the teachers asked her, they're like, you know, well, how do you like your new school? What do you think? You know, we know you kind of are away from your friends. And she said, I don't miss my old school at all. And they asked her why. She goes, well, you know, because when I come here, I feel like everyone really cares about me and they want me to do well. And I get told that I'm loved every single day. So how could you not want to come here? You know, when I heard that story, it kind of, you know, made me realize like, okay, because we all have self-doubt. We all sometimes question is what we're doing the right thing. And especially when I'm hearing from, you know, other administrators in other schools, you know, maybe not necessarily agreeing with my approach. But then when you hear stories like that, it kind of puts it all in perspective. Like, you know, we're here for the kids. The curriculum is going to come and go. I mean, it changes all the time. But if we just stick true to building these kids up, I mean, they're going to take learning in their own hands, and they are going to accomplish amazing things as they get older.
Well, you absolutely, that's exactly what I was going to say, is that if you work to build that strong base where you're showing students that they matter, you're building those relationships, you're showing teachers that they matter and that they can try new things and take calculated risks. You know, as an administrator, you can see that long-term goal of, oh yeah, I'd really love to focus on, you know, instruction long-term, or, oh yeah, of course the tests matter. But the reality is that if you build that strong base, everything else comes because
right. You
have the foundation for it. So when you start talking to your staff, or when you're speaking, because I know you present, and obviously you're presenting at Teach Better Conference, what advice do you give teachers that want to be in this environment where they're able to take risks and really what's doing what's best for students? What advice do they need to be successful?
You know, I just tell them if you know in your heart that what you want to do is right for kids, regardless of, you know, the rest of your team, they kind of don't want to try that or they don't think it's the right approach. I mean, if try it. I mean, you can always reevaluate and assess and kind of look back and say, okay, maybe I should have done it this way. But, you know, like my wife always tells me, and then nothing changes if nothing changes. So if you keep doing the same thing, you know, you're going to keep getting the same results. So just get out there and try something new. Don't be afraid. And, you know, I started back to the first faculty meeting of the school year, So some, I actually went to high school here in the same town that I teach. I didn't go to this elementary district, but I went to the same high school. So one of the teachers somehow had gotten a hold of all my high school yearbook pictures. So I wanted to beat them to the punch because who knew what they were going to do with it. But, you know, from, it's kind of funny because you can see my different hairstyles as we go through. My freshman year, I had hair covering half my face, coming down to my shoulder. The one I've got, you know, mohawk going down the middle of my head. So I brought up the mohawk picture at the first faculty meeting. I said, this guy, you know, they all kind of laughed. And I told them how attractive I was and stuff like that. And so when I showed him that picture, I said, you know, this guy, I'm like, this who's coming back this year. I'm like, don't be afraid of what other people think. You need to just go out there and do what you want to do. I said, I'm going to support you. You know, unless you tell me, and I know it's not good for the kids. Other than that, like, no, let's do it. Let's try it. So just, you know, I guess I just tell people that just do what you know is right. Don't worry about what others think. Get out of your comfort zone. The only way to grow is getting out of your comfort zone. Don't be afraid to ask for help. None of us know all the answers. You know, I guarantee what you need help in, somebody down the hall is going to have that strength. So rely on them. And just number one, build relationships. Because when you build those relationships with that, with everyone that you're coming in contact with, I mean, it's, you're going to be unstoppable.
Loving it. I love your focus. Always coming back to building those relationships and building that culture around you. Starting with your staff, I think is so crucial, and building that culture amongst your staff so then it can trickle down into everything else you do. So that's super awesome, man. I'm loving this.
Thank you.
It's time to put you to the test now, Mike. What we're going to do the next six questions, your goal is to answer each one in 15 seconds or less. You ready to go?
Yeah, I'm just going to warn you. As you could tell, I like to rant sometimes, so I'm going to do best. I'm going to do my best for 15 seconds.
This is where we challenge. This is the challenge, so we're ready to rock here. So, all right, what is one ed tech tool you cannot live without?
I know it's cliche, but Twitter, I mean, it's changed my life. So I think that everyone needs to get on there and at least spend 15, 20 minutes a day.
Give us a book that you're reading right now.
Oh, I'm always reading more than one. I just finished Relentless by Hamish Brewer. I'm doing a book study on Voxer, Dare to Lead by Brené Brown. And I'm also reading Can I Say by Travis Barker, who is the drummer of Blink-182 and Transplants.
Awesome. Who do we need to follow on Twitter today?
Three people who totally inspire me no matter what kind of day I'm having. I can go to their feed. It's Greg Bruno, and that's at Mr. Bruno, Santiago Meza, and Jonathan Alsheimer.
And give us the best YouTube channel or website for educators.
It's kind of a funny answer, but I would say the Joe Rogan podcast. You got to be prepared for some vulgar language sometimes. But the thing about Joe Rogan is, he's got his views, but I've listened to so many podcasts when he's had people have the complete opposite of him, but he's always so respectful, and he's so knowledgeable, and you just learn so much when you kind of put different views together. So
yeah, I've always loved that about Joe. He's very opinionated, very strong, but he's very intelligent, so his opinions come from a good spot.
Right.
And I've always loved it because he's kind of known for triggered and stuff like that, so he's very in your face in a lot of ways, but he is. He's always open for the conversation. He doesn't judge anybody on that. He's willing to say, your opinion doesn't necessarily mean it's wrong just because it's not mine. So I love that. That's actually a really good one. Give us a daily, weekly, or monthly routine every teacher should get into.
Daily. You just got to take time for yourself every day. We give so much for the students and staff, and then we got families we give to. You might have to get up earlier or go to bed later, but find at least 20, 30 minutes a day to do something for yourself.
And give us the best piece of advice you've ever received.
Two of them. One was my dad told me when I was young. You know, he worked in the mills and factories. He said, you need to do something that you love going to do every day, because otherwise your life's going to be miserable. And then my first year as an assistant principal, the principal at the time told me every day is game day. So every day you walk in that school, it's game day. You cannot be off because the kids are going to suffer.
Those are two great pieces of advice. Thanks. Love it. Nailed it, Ray. He nailed it. He was worried. He had nothing to worry about.
Good.
Are we going to give him the trophy, Jeff?
No, we're going to give him a skateboard.
Ooh. There we go. Perfect.
I don't know, Mike, but I'm pretty sure we've got to figure out how to get you a Teach Better Talk skateboard.
That would be phenomenal.
Oh, we could totally do it. Just on the underside, just says hashtag Teach Better. Oh, I got ideas.
Oh, that'd be sweet. That'd be sweet.
And you come see Michael at the Twitter conference as a featured speaker.
Yes.
Eye out for his skateboard. We want to see it, and that will be where we're going to debut it.
Will you?
Nice.
Yeah. Okay. So you're definitely bringing a skateboard out. I think that needs to happen.
All right. I'll bring it.
Since we've mentioned it a few times, if you're listening, you want to come out and hang out with Mike. He's coming out for both days. He's going to be there. He's presenting. Use the discount code podcast talk. Get $50 off either of the 2-day registrations and come out and hang out with Mike.
Well, Michael, I want to make sure that everyone is able to continue this connection. They obviously are going to want to see updates not only on your skateboard, but on the amazing things challenging your staff to do. And somehow I secretly want to sneak into your building sometime and hang out with the
anytime
you work with. But would you mind sharing how they can stay connected to you?
Yeah, definitely. So the best way, I'm pretty active on Twitter, and that's at MEarnshaw158, and I believe you guys will have all this typed out in the notes. On Instagram, it's OakGlenGrizzlies158. It's a little low key right now because I kind of focus more on student pictures and whatnot since we're on summer. It's not much going on to be me by myself and my skateboard here. I got a blog. It's principalonaskateboard.blogspot.com, and there's some hyphens in there. And on YouTube, we just kind of got it started at the end of the school year. Just search my name, Mike Earnshaw, and you can see some of the student-led videos we started going with our broadcasting studio. And if you're on Voxer, find me on Voxer. I love to kind of connect in a more informal way than Twitter. So there it is.
And, you know, you can find all the links and all the resources we've talked about in this episode over at teachbetter.com, as well as those really important links for connecting with Mike. So make sure you head over there and check out the show notes at teachbetter.com. Be sure to hit subscribe so you don't miss any upcoming episodes. And if you can give us a rating and a review, we'd really, really appreciate that. And let's take it one step further. Think of just three colleagues who need to hear these amazing stories and all the value that's coming out of these fantastic teachers, and share this podcast with them. Mike, it's been super exciting having you on the podcast. Really enjoyed it. So much value in this episode and some fun, too. We're really excited to have you coming out to the conference. Looking forward to now figuring out this whole skateboard thing. and I'm just seeing hashtag skateboard selfie being a thing that should probably start on Twitter right now.
Nice.
So if you're listening and you have a skateboard, take a snapshot with it. Make sure you hashtag teach better and hashtag skateboard selfie. And I don't know where I'm going with that, but I think there's something there. So we just appreciate your time, man, and hanging out with us. And just thank you.
No, thank you guys.
And until next time, let's get out there. Let's teach better.